Welcome to the Kojo Namdi Show's Tech Tuesday, keeping you on the cutting edge of the tech revolution from WAMU 88.5 FM in Washington. Thanks.
From WAMU at American University in Washington, welcome to the Kojo Namdi Show. It's Tech Tuesday. If it's true that two heads are better than one, then how about 2,000 or 200,000? Wikipedia, the Internet's collaborative encyclopedia, has found its way into the news. Due to sensational and sometimes amusing misinformation about Washington insiders, you know, whitewashed political records, false implication in Kennedy assassinations, but Wikipedia's popularity is about more than beltway politics. So-called wiki sites allow users to collectively author and edit everything, from the minutes of a local book club meeting to a catalog of every living organism on the planet. And just as blogs altered the way we receive and process the news, many people believe wikis and similar applications will radically change how we use the Internet. Joining us to discuss wiki sites on this Tech Tuesday is Ben Biederson, director of the Human-Computer Interaction Laboratory at the University of Maryland College Park. He's also a professor of computer science at the University of Maryland. Ben Biederson, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Joining us from studios in New York is Alex Halavay. He's a professor of communications at the School of Informatics at the University of Buffalo. Alex Halavay, thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
For most of us, Wikipedia can't be distinguished from the term wiki. Ben, exactly what is a wiki?
Well, the way to think about it is to compare it to the web. We all know what websites are. And the great thing about the web is that they get information up there for lots of people to see. But they're hard to put stuff on there. You have to have a server. You have to have someone that knows how to log in, update it, and so on. What a wiki is just a plain old website with a key difference, and that is that you can change the content through the web page itself. You don't have to have special understanding about servers and passwords and things like that. You just go to the website, click on edit, modify the page, press save, and the website is updated.
Alex, it's my understanding that the origin of the term wiki also has to do with the Honolulu International Airport. Can you explain?
Right. Originally, it was thought that, Quick Web was a little too thought of or forgotten. And so it was named after the WikiWiki bus, which runs around the Honolulu Airport. And it's supposed to be quick in Hawaiian.
I got an email from Kate, who writes, "The pronunciation of wiki-wiki, meaning quick, is wiki-wiki in Hawaiian. The I's are pronounced like long E's. Also, I have taken that bus, and it is anything but quick." I don't know. Have you heard that complaint also, Alex?
I have indeed, yes. There's an ongoing conversation as to what it should be. But I think enough people have shortened it to just wiki now that we get to pull it away from the Hawaiians.
And there are those who sometimes interpret the phrase as an acronym for "what I know is." Is that okay, Ben Biederson? Wiki?
You know, it is almost okay, except for a crucial thing, is that it's the nature of wikis that you can go to a web page and edit it, that everybody can go to the web page that edit it. And so it's really not "what I know is," it's "what we know is."
Ah, good distinction. You can join this conversation and tell us what you know is. 800-433-8850 is the number to call, 800-433-8850, or you can send email to kojo@wamu.org. Wikipedia is unique among wiki sites. It's huge. English language Wikipedia has over 900,000 entries, and it's open. Everyone is invited to participate. Where did the idea of a communal encyclopedia come from? First, you, Alex.
Well, it started out actually as a project called the Newpedia, which was the aim of the Newpedia was to gather academics to put together an openly available website. And I was involved in one branch of that early on, and I was in charge of the communication side or one of the people in charge of the communication side. And the problem was that it was really difficult to get people to contribute. And it turned out that one of the ways that was considered to raise awareness of the project and to develop ideas as kind of an incubator was to turn to this wiki software. So at the early stages, it was meant as kind of support for this larger project, but the Wikipedia part of this really took off. It turned out that this provided a great environment for people to be able to contribute at their own time and for a wider group of people to contribute.
Ben Peterson, can you talk a little bit about examples of other contemporary wikis?
Sure. There's a lot of them. Of course, we hear Wikipedia in the news recently, but they're used broadly, and they're used both in some public ways and probably more so for internal use within organizations. So let me talk about both of those. In the public ways, there are examples like a flu wiki, which helps scientists around the world track and work on trying to understand flu pandemics. There's a wikitravel.org website that's trying to make a worldwide travel guide, even a cookbook wiki that's collecting recipes from around the world. So there's lots and lots of those, and they're growing.
Wikipedia has gotten a lot of mainstream attention, there are other programs running on principles of shared content and social bookmarking. Some of them have become extremely popular. Can you explain how a few of them work, like Flickr?
Right. So I think this is actually really the most interesting part, because wikis, are as wonderful as they are only part of a growing trend on the web to become more open, and I think the key is more democratic. When I say that the web is becoming democratic, what it means is that lots and lots of people can contribute to the content that's being put out there. So even blogs, which you think of as a personal, not democratic at all, but what I'm putting out there, there's feedback, there's comments. And so there is a very social nature to blogging. But you mentioned Flickr. Flickr is a website which allows people to upload their personal photos and tag them with just simple keywords. Doesn't sound like much, but it has taken over the images, the image world of the web, and there are just, you know, untold numbers of beautiful photos on Flickr, and you can find out a lot of what's going on there.
How about Dig?
So that's another interesting example. The traditional publishing model is that there are reporters that collect news. They write about it, and editors decide what goes up there, and editors hold the keys to the kingdom. And there is a very popular website called Slashdot, which is a news of the nerds that has that model. There's a new one that's becoming exceedingly popular called Dig, D-I-G-G, and that works a little bit differently. Instead of an editor deciding what goes up there, anybody can post any article. Sounds weird. But everybody can also vote on that article and give it a dig, a thumbs up. And the ones that appear on the homepage are the ones that are recent and have the most digs.
There was something that occurred during the holiday season involving a camera store that was known as the Dig Effect. What can you tell us about that?
Well, anytime a website gets really popular, it can be a problem for the website owners because web servers typically have to really put a lot of strength under the hood, have a lot of strong servers to support a lot of users. And when you have a single clearinghouse like Dig or Slashdot that points hundreds of thousands of people to a single website, they can get bowled over by the load. And so when someone gets a Dig effect, that means they're so popular that they can't serve up the news fast enough.
Indeed, I heard that the Dig effect during the holiday season led to the closing of a camera store in Brooklyn, New York, because there was so much there that was negative about the camera store. If you'd like to join this conversation on Wikisites, you can call us at 800-433-8850. Here is Marshall in Washington, D.C. Marshall, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Kojo.
Hi.
I just want to say I really like your show. Now, I have been studying Wikipedia and similar phenomena for a long time, actually, and sort of inspired by them, a group of students of mine at American University started a wiki project, and it's called Memory Wiki, and it's at memorywiki.org, and I didn't call just to pitch it, but I just wanted to share a few thoughts about building wiki communities.
Sure.
The idea behind Memory Wiki is very simple. It's just that people will come there, and they will leave their reminiscences or memoirs, you know, just short paragraphs, about anything. And if you go to the site, you'll see that there are hundreds of them now. People remembering everything from their first iPod to, you know, Washington in the era of segregation, all manner of stuff. But one thing I think is important to say about wikis is that it's really a core community that builds them. It's not as if you just open a site and people come. They don't. there's a lot of old-style PR that has to be done in order to get this core community to add content. And many of these sites, and I know this because I've studied the history of Wikipedia, you know, took years to build. The original Wikipedia in 2001 was built by a group of probably 15 to 20 people.
Well, you know, both of our guests have also built wiki communities themselves. I'd like to hear them trade or compare experiences with you. First, you, Ben Peterson.
Well, I had talked a little bit about how there's public wikis, but there's also internal wikis, and the ones I've built really are more internal. So our lab uses a wiki to do all of our internal communication and planning. For example, we have an annual symposium in June, and it's a six-month planning process. It's, you know, planning a big conference, and there's lots of people, lots of things. And all of our members post their stuff and edit it. Our schedule goes up there. So it's a way for us to share information. So that kind of internal wiki doesn't have the very real issues the caller just raised.
Alex Halavay, your experience?
Yeah, I mean, what Marshall says is absolutely true that, as Ben said earlier, that the technology behind this, the actual nuts and bolts, are fairly simple, are fairly straightforward. What drives this is the social and the community aspect. Now, there are all kinds of different wikis, not just public community wikis, and not just project wikis. Sometimes someone will just put up a list or a document and ask for input from others, and this provides a way for other people to kind of interact with that single author. It feels more like a blog in that case. But really, the dynamics of how you get this to work is the most interesting part of what's going on right now. And Wikipedia provides an outstanding model of not just the technology, but of the sort of principles that allow for people to interact more effectively and that community that drives the interest.
Marshall, thank you very much for your call. It does provide a model, Alex, but a model that has seen its share of pitfalls. Wikipedia has been in the news recently for inaccuracies, including the entry we mentioned earlier that claimed a prominent journalist was implicated in the Kennedy assassinations. Was that simply a matter of growing pains, or is there a structural weakness that allowed John Siegenthaler, former attorney general Robert Kennedy's aide, to be accused of being a part of the Kennedy assassinations?
Well, you can see it as a weakness or you can see it as an opportunity, right?
Yep. So certainly because
Wikipedia is easily modified, you're going to have the possibility of false information being introduced, but you also have the possibility of that being more quickly rectified. So inaccuracies exist in any kind of journalism and in any kind of reference document. The question is how quickly and how easily do they get fixed? Absolutely. It's something that people should be concerned about, and they should read Wikipedia with a critical eye and understand how it's constructed. But I don't think that detracts from the larger impact that Wikipedia has had, which is, I think, enormous.
Well,
and
John,
enormously beneficial.
John Siegenthaler wrote in USA Today that Wikipedia says that these corrections are usually made in minutes, that the inaccuracies about him were out there for months before they were corrected. Ben Peterson?
So this is true, but it's a little bit complicated. So I looked at a page on the Wikipedia yesterday that I thought might be controversial. I searched for abortion. So yesterday there were 27 edits. Roughly a quarter of them basically said stopping vandalism. But many of the others were actually content-based, not just vandalism. And so I looked at some of those. So one of the way to do that in the Wikipedia is that it keeps a complete history. So the good news is if somebody says something bad, you don't lose the other one. Anybody can go back and see what was there before, and you can even revert back to what it was before. But when you have two opposing camps on something as charged as abortion, what often happens is something called revert wars. That is, I change it to something, and then the other side reverts back to what they had, and then I revert back to mine, and they revert back to theirs, and it goes back and forth. So in this particular case, the revert war was what was being aborted. Is it the word fetus or human being?
Mm-hmm. And you can go back and see exactly how the debate was going on, exactly what to use. We're talking with Ben Peterson. He is director of the Human Computer Interaction Laboratory at the University of Maryland College Park. He's also a professor of computer science at the University of Maryland. He joins us in our Washington studio. Joining us from the studios of the Radio Foundation in New York is Alex Halavay. He is professor of communications at the School of Informatics at the University of Buffalo. We're going to take a short break, but if you've already called, stay on the line. We will get to your telephone call. It's Tech Tuesday. Wikisites. I'm Kojo Nandi.
Ted Guzer has some practical advice about writing poetry. For one thing, be careful with metaphor.
I have graduate students who will show me a poem and they'll point to some place in the middle and they'll say, well, don't you think I ought to put a metaphor here? You know, like you could get by one at Circuit City and just plug it in there somewhere.
Lessons from the U.S. Poet Laureate later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
That's All Things Considered, beginning this afternoon at 4 o'clock here on WAMU 88.5 FM, your NPR news station. WAMU and the BSO at Strathmore are giving away 15 pairs of tickets to Sergei Khachaturian's award-winning Sibelius, performed Thursday, March 2nd at 8 p.m. More information is available at WAMU.org under calendar. Support for WAMU is provided by the German Embassy and the German Information Center, presenting Germany.info, a web publication with daily news from Germany, business and investment information, and suggestions for travel to Europe, on the web at Germany.info. Support for WAMU's recent membership campaign comes from your contributions and M.E. Swing Coffee Company and Federal Bakers Incorporated. It's currently 45 degrees in northwest Washington. Our forecast through the afternoon, mostly sunny skies. High temperatures expected to remain in the upper 40s. And now at 12:23, we return to the Kojo Namdi Show here on WAMU 88.5 FM.
Welcome back. We're talking about Wikisites, the software that allows everyone who's interested to participate in authoring or editing content on a variety of websites. It's a Tech Tuesday conversation. You can join us 800-433-8850 or send email to kojo@wamu.org. Back to the telephone. Here is David in Baltimore, Maryland. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
So I'm listening to this thing on the way in to work today, and I'm noting that there's no journalism professor, no communications professor. It's all information systems people. And I have to say that as somebody who spent 12 years in a newspaper and understood that there was a logic to gatekeeping, that without somebody actually assessing information and deciding whether it was valid or accurate, you basically get garbage out. And as evidence, I'll cite my own listing on Wikipedia, which had me married to Howard Stern's ex for about a year. Somebody finally pointed it out to me. You know, and obviously my girlfriend was a little bit unhappy.
How long had your girlfriend known about that entry?
When she found out about it at some point, we wrote in.
Well, it's funny you should bring up the issue of gatekeepers, David, because joining us now by telephone is Kat Walsh, who is a senior editor with Wikipedia. Kat Walsh, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
What do you have to say to David? He didn't like the idea. He didn't like the idea of being engaged or married to Howard Stern's girlfriend.
No, I'd imagine he wouldn't. All I have to say about that really is that we do correct the errors as soon as we find them, and we do our best to work with people who do contact the offices and who do let us know that their entries are incorrect. We usually quickly correct whatever it is that they found.
In the John Siegenthaler episode, I read where one of the reasons that it took so long to correct his is that it wasn't linked to any other information or any other site. Can you explain how that works?
Yeah, that's correct. When people first write a new page on Wikipedia, the first thing they do, if it shows up in the recent changes list and people seeing what has recently changed on Wikipedia can immediately see that a new page was created. But the way Wikipedia works, that pages are linked to each other, is that people create links within the articles to other topics that they're related to. So John Siegenthaler, say, if maybe he had had a link to Kennedy in the article, or the Kennedy article had linked to him, somebody might have clicked on that and saw the information and said, hey, wait a minute, this doesn't match with what I know, I should correct this. But as it is, the article was just a block of text and nothing linked to it, so people weren't likely to click on it and see that anything was wrong with it.
David, thank you very much for your call. You are one of several thousand, I think, volunteer editors at Wikipedia, Kat. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Actually, there are tens of thousands of people who edit Wikipedia on a regular basis. There are probably a couple thousand who are active, and then there's not quite a thousand administrators who are in charge of who control vandalism, who can delete incorrect entries and delete garbage entries. And in general, are active people on the site who try and make sure that the site's as high quality as possible.
Okay, allow me to go back to the telephones. Here now, Melanie in Falls Church, Virginia. Melanie, your turn.
Hi, Kojo. I wanted to just tell your readers that, or your listeners, rather, I'm a wiki editor myself, so I'm always thinking in terms of readers, that one of the things that we believe that we are harvesting is the wisdom of crowds. I have great sympathy for your Wikipedia editors who are on the phone with you today. Keeping the information current and keeping it correct is an enormous job. And I'm only dealing with the subject of pandemic influenza, which is a fairly specialized topic, and it's still a full-time job for four of us who are the editors on the site. It's a lot of work.
Well, Ben Peterson, do you see this law of group intelligence, if you will, that the sum of a group is greater than the parts?
I think that's absolutely true. On average, but that doesn't mean any given moment that there isn't going to be a problem. But I think it's worth taking a look at one study that tried to analyze the accuracy. And so there was actually a recent article in Nature, a very prestigious scientific magazine, that compared the accuracy of Wikipedia to Encyclopedia Britannica on many articles. And what they found was that on average, the Wikipedia had a little bit more errors, four errors per article compared to three. But more interestingly, the total number of serious errors was split, four for Wikipedia, four for Encyclopedia Britannica. So yes, there are issues, but it's a pretty amazing statement that it's doing as well as it is considering it's only a few years old.
Melanie, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
You too can call us on this Tech Tuesday, 800-433-8850, if you'd like to join the conversation. You can also send email to kojo@wamu.org. What do you think about the idea of communal content? You can call us or send an email to us. Now, Alex, the mainstream media have been undeniably influenced by the advent of blogs. Is the expanding popularity of the wiki-type sites in any way comparable to the explosion of blogs?
I think so. And as Ben mentioned earlier, I think they're all part of a larger issue, a kind of a movement on the web towards public conversations, towards public collaboration. And so they won't answer the same kinds of questions. But certainly, I think we're already seeing Wikipedia being cited by the media more often and more importantly, I think used by the media as a resource.
Kat, I've been reading that in the wake of the John Siegenthaler incident and another having to do with an MTV VJ who made alterations to his own information, that Wikipedia has been considering at least a couple of restrictions, and that is that original articles would have to come from members and that individuals would be prohibited in some way or the other from contributing to articles about themselves.
And that's something, the restriction on unregistered members contributing articles is something that's been a little bit misrepresented in the press. We do now have an experiment going where only registered users of Wikipedia can contribute articles. However, all it takes to create an account is about 30 seconds. You supply your name and a password. And it stops some of the drive-by vandalism, the people who are just going to start and create an entry as a joke without stopping to think about it a little bit. So at least maybe it creates an incentive for people to have an identity to connect this to, even if it's just a pseudonym they create. But anybody can still create an article. And our guidelines on biographies are still that subjects shouldn't edit the articles about themselves because we have a policy of a neutral point of view, and it's a little bit difficult for subjects to be neutral and objective about themselves. People are encouraged to write on the discussion pages that every article has if they find something that's incorrect or misleading, and then some of our other editors can take that and use it to correct the articles.
On to John in Fairfax, Virginia. John, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Kojo, thank you very much for taking my call. I think this is a really important show. I'm a writer, a freelancer, and I'm always pressed for time. And so my question is, why in the world would I go to a resource where at any given moment, anything in it could be wrong?
Alex Halliway?
I would love to know what resource that isn't true about. Now, at a certain level, I think you're right. The mechanisms of fact-checking, say, for the New York Times, say, you know, we check first and then we publish. And that doesn't – obviously, the New York Times is a great example of this. That doesn't always work.
Yes, but two words that spring to mind, Jason and Blair, but go ahead.
Absolutely. but you certainly have that mechanism in place, that kind of – as an earlier caller mentioned, that gatekeeping function. But it is a mistake to believe that Wikipedia does not have a gatekeeping function. It does have a gatekeeping function. It's simply distributed. This comes up a lot for those of us teaching in universities, because the question is, do we tell students not to go to Wikipedia for that reason, because it may be inaccurate? And what I tell my students, and I think most people tell their students, is it's a great place to look for information and then verify. So that's what I would do if I were writing.
Ben, you've also used Wikipedia as a teaching device. What are the strengths and weaknesses of collaborative text?
Right. Well, one thing that's interesting is when we've used it, I've used it in classes, and I've used it, as I said, for the lab. I always make it public, so I don't restrict it to my classes. And do you know how many times we've had vandalism? A total of zero.
Really?
It's cool. Of course, it's not a highly visible wiki, but it's out there. Except for these highly charged, you know, places, by and large, you know, I'm an optimist. I have faith in humanity. People want to make the world better. They want to, as a whole, make this stuff good. And they have a great public voice that they're not used to having. And people tend to do their very best to make information accurate. And so except for these highly controversial cases, which is a challenge, it works pretty well.
Kat Walsh, what powers do you have as an editor?
I'm sorry, what powers do I have as an editor?
As an editor, a volunteer editor, yes.
Any volunteer editor can create articles, can also remove vandalism, correct facts, and create Wikipedia policy also. Almost any editor who just signs up to the site for the first time can do anything that any editor who's been around for a long time can. They have the same power to change articles, to change policy, and to make sure that the information is as good as we can get it.
Do you get paid for this service?
No, I don't.
How long have you been volunteering?
I've been a volunteer at Wikipedia since early 2004.
How'd you get involved in it?
Like most people, I think I found Wikipedia on a web search. I'm a classical musician, so I was searching for some more information on some composers that I was playing pieces by, and I found Wikipedia as one of the entries. And I stumbled onto the site, and I saw a fact that I could add a little more to. I'd been playing a piece by, so I clicked edit this page, and it did turn out to be as easy as it was advertised, and so I stuck around.
And since 2004, Kat Walsh has been a volunteer editor. She's now a senior editor at Wikipedia. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Back to the telephones. Here is Shoshana in Cleveland, Ohio. Shoshana must be listening to us on the web. Shoshana, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I wanted to know if your guests could compare collaborative writing that's done on wiki sites to open source development such as Linux and other types of open source software that's out there. Open source software has been mostly very successful, and there is gatekeeping that goes along. And now Linux is one of the largest operating systems in the world, and it's free. So I think that maybe Wiki is going through some growing pains, but that it can be just as easily accepted by the public as Linux has. But I'd like to hear their comments.
First, you, Ben Bideson.
I think it's a good point. I'm glad you brought it up. Actually, it was on my list of things to bring up as well. Open source software development, which essentially just means free software that the world contributes to, sort of like wikis. You can download the software, modify it to improve it a little bit, and then update the changes. Does have a lot of similar characteristics, but they're not exactly the same. For one thing, as you say, open source software typically has a stronger gatekeeping function. There's typically a few small number of editors for each bit of code. Another thing is that it's a little bit harder and more time-consuming to modify the software. And so you don't typically have these revert wars going back and forth on one or two words. And perhaps the last thing is that it's less controversial. It's more of a meritocracy. There is typically a fastest way to implement something. And if people disagree, they can usually figure out how to evaluate which one is best, while that's clearly not always the case with Wikipedia entries.
Alex, the comparison? Halliway?
I think it's a valid comparison, and Ben has some good comments on it as well. If you look, I do want to comment on even the controversial articles. Early on, Wikipedia had some serious issues with controversial articles, but I did a quick look before we came. Well, not to abortion, but to intelligent design and some other issues that tend to be hot button topics in Scientology. And if you look at this, Wikipedia has done a great job even with the more controversial issues. So just to bounce off of this, even though there is more opportunity for a broader range of interests, it's not a matter of whether a piece of code works or not necessarily, but whether it's accepted or not by a community. Still, I think Wikipedia does a good job of providing that distributed gatekeeping.
Well, I took the opportunity in a torrent of vanity to look at myself on Wikipedia, and everything that they had there was accurate. So far, it's been accurate for me. Here's John. You're on the air. John, go ahead, please.
I've called to tell you about a couple of things. One is that there are lots of wikis that are available to the public so that they can create their own wiki site. One is pbwiki.com. That stands for Peanut Butter Wiki. It's as easy to use as it is to make a peanut butter sandwich. You can create your own wiki. Another thing is, just a point of interest, is that the wikis were developed as open source. They are open source. Most of the wiki software is open source software. The mother of all wikis is c2.com, c the digit 2.com. And that's where the wiki started. Then one other thing is to mention the site called Reddit, R-E-D-D-I-T .com. That's a site that does what Dig does, and it's a very nice site to visit. And I'll just mention one more site.
Well, you've mentioned quite a few, and we're trying to make sure that we link to all of these sites from our own site at kojoshow.org. So you might want to hold off on more sites for a second, because I'd like to get another caller in. And you should know that later in the broadcast, we'll be joined by the co-founder of another wiki site, Wikispaces. But first, on to Joe in Ashburn, Virginia. John, thank you for your call. Here's Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Go right ahead, Joe.
Love your show.
Thanks.
I listen to it often when I get a chance. Just a quick comment. I'm just concerned with the one caller or guest, I'm not sure which, who made a comment that the wiki sites are harvesting the wisdom of groups. And my comment is that that's in my view, a dangerous concept. You've seen how groupthink can lead people down the wrong path often just by inertia. And so I'm not sure that's a good analogy or even a good concept.
One of the fascinating things about that analogy is whether or not groupthink operates differently when people are actually massed together physically and when they are anonymous. Do people do good when nobody is watching, Ben Biederson?
Obviously, there's a range. Some people do, some people don't. I think you have to ask what is the person's vested interest and also what is their risk. I think when you see groupthink doing badly, if you look historically, a lot of it comes from the fact when people have great risk for not going along with groups, right? If I'm going to say something, raise the flag against the Nazis, well, I might have a really bad consequence, and so I'm going to go along with what everyone else is saying. So in that way, anonymity can be a great relief because it enables you to do what's right without risk.
Well, we're going to take a short break, and we will pursue that thought, that discussion, and talk with James Byers, the co-founder of Wikispaces, when we come back. But you can still call us with your questions or comments about Wikisites. 800-433-8850 is the number to call, or you can send email to kojo@wamu.org. I'm Kojo Nandi. Coming up at 1, get new insight of America's history viewed through the lens of our favorite national pastime and the country's great black baseball players. Today at 1 on the Kojo Nandi Show on WAMU 88.5 FM.
Coming up this afternoon at 3 o'clock on The World, America's immigration debate is about to heat up. Congress is considering a controversial new bill that calls for hundreds of miles of new fences along the U.S.-Mexican border. People who live along California's border with Mexico already know what that's like. There's been a fence there for more than 15 years. Life on both sides of the divide, that story, and the day's news from around the globe coming up on The World at 3 o'clock here on WAMU 88.5 FM. And then at 4 on All Things Considered from NPR News, lessons from U.S. Poet Laureate Ted Kooser. That story and all the day's top news on All Things Considered beginning at 4 o'clock here on WAMU 88.5 FM, your NPR news station. Support for WAMU comes from Arena Stage, presenting Awake and Sing, Clifford Odets' tale of a proud Jewish family, directed by Arena Stage founding director Zelda Fitchandler. Tickets at 202-488-3300 or arenastage.org. It's currently 45 degrees in northwest Washington. Our forecast for today, mostly sunny skies. Temperatures this afternoon expected to peak in the upper 40s. Tonight, partly cloudy this evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight, with lows in the lower 30s downtown and the upper 20s in the suburbs. And now at 12:43, we return to the Kojo Nandi Show here on WAMU 88.5 FM.
Where we're discussing wiki websites on this Tech Tuesday with Ben Biederson, director of the Human-Computer Interaction Laboratory at University of Maryland College Park. He's also a professor of computer science at the University of Maryland. And Alex Halavay is a professor of communications at the School of Informatics at the University of Buffalo. Joining us now by telephone is James Byers. He joins by telephone from San Francisco. He is the co-founder of Wikispaces, which is a wiki hosting platform. James Byers, thank you for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me.
Tell us about Wikispaces. What is it?
Well, Wikispaces is a site where anyone, any group or small community can go and create their own wiki to use for whatever topic they like.
How do they do that?
They visit our website at wikispaces.com and pretty much fill in the name of their wiki and an email address, and we give them their own space. They can make it public. They can protect it so that only members can edit the content, or they can make it fully private if they choose to.
Who's using your site?
Well, we have an amazing range of people using Wikispaces. You might imagine that if you look at the amazing range of topics on Wikipedia, there are lots of groups out there who are passionate about their hobbies, about their interests, anything from lots of educational uses in the classroom to hobbyists, gamers on the internet, to wine lovers who want to share information about some very specialized topics.
Indeed, Ben Biederson, one of the aspects of wiki sites that we need to discuss is that this is an area where you can find a great deal of content.
That's right. So, you know, the web is wonderful because it's free, and it's changing everyone's expectation that you should be able to get stuff for free. People are a little bit hesitant to pay for things sometimes. And it is wonderful. There are lots of places on the web where stuff is free, but it goes beyond wikis. In addition to websites, there are many projects where people are making content available. So I want to tell you just briefly about a project that I'm working on, which is the International Children's Digital Library. And it is a place where we are getting rights to and scanning children's books, high-quality books from around the world. We have almost 1,000 books from 34 languages and have them available completely for free. It's at icdlbooks.org.
icdlbooks.org. We got an email from MP Alex, who writes, an interesting parallel is indiemedia.org, which allows individuals to report on news happening in their area as the essence of public news. How does this tie into social and information transferring in the same way, current events instead of archived data? I wanted to use that, Alex, to have you also talk about Wikinews, which was created by Wikimedia. You've argued that this news service can be compared to the decentralized network that I just mentioned, IndyMedia.com.
Yeah, I think there's comparisons that can be drawn there. I should note, though, that although Wikinews is still at its earliest stages, some interesting stuff has happened on Wikipedia itself in terms of updating current events articles very quickly to provide news. And one of the reasons Wikinews, I think, hasn't taken off as quickly is because it doesn't have that same concentration of attention that Wikipedia itself brings. In either case, you have this, again, the gatekeeping being distributed. And an earlier caller worried about this. This is a problem. That is, that when you have a knowledge commons, you only end up with common knowledge. You only end up with sort of back of the envelope things that people already know. And I think in both these cases, you see that that's not the case, that you have people uncovering things that are not part of the mainstream news agenda. But that agenda can be shaped. That is, the attention gets directed toward what the popular community thinks is important, and that can be both a benefit and a disadvantage. For Wikipedia, for example, there are far more articles on Lord of the Rings than there are on some technical topics, scientific topics.
On to Dacia in Silver Spring, Maryland. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I'm a teacher in Montgomery County, and one of the things that we were told is that we shouldn't use Wikipedia because the information can be changed, and therefore it's not valid. I'd like to know from the gentleman their feelings on that particular topic. Is the information valid, and can we use it as an educational resource?
When you say we are told, as a teacher in Montgomery County, who has told you that?
Our media center specialist told us that we should not allow our students to use Wikipedia as a resource because the information can be changed, and you know, people can have access to go on there and change the information and put whatever they want. So we're looking for valid educational resources, and we're told that Wikipedia is not one of them.
Well, allow me to have James Byers, and then I'll get to Alex and Ben, because James Byers, it's my understanding that Wikispaces is being used by students.
We do have a lot of student users. In fact, we provide free spaces for K-12 teachers. I think we largely avoid some of the challenges with Wikipedia in that we have students working together just in their classroom, just in their with their own friends on content oftentimes. So there's not really the accountability problem that sometimes happens with Wikipedia. Though I would say that Wikipedia, like anything, if you're verifying what you see there with another source, it's a fantastic resource, as I think Ben and Alex have mentioned.
Well, I wanted to get back to Ben and Alex because our teacher, Dacia, says that their media center is telling them not to use this and apparently not making much of a distinction between what students are supposed to do, which is find good sources of information, and not making a distinction between that and the intelligence of the students. First to you, Ben.
So I agree. This is slightly troubling to hear this. I think that it is absolutely true that you should be concerned about the factual content of what you read on the wiki, as well as what you read on any other web page or any newspaper or on Kojo Namdi's show.
Intelligence should be a factor someplace.
So I think it's absolutely crucial that every teacher, especially now with the web, has a fundamental goal, which is to teach children how to interpret what they read. And part of what that means is looking for corroboration, right? You need to be looking, if there's something that you have any concern about, look at multiple sites, try to get multiple sources. What newspaper will publish will assume a fact is true without multiple sources?
And some newspapers have corrections, as a matter of fact, that you can check on the next day. Alex, your take on that?
Yeah, and so this is basically a question of literacy, of understanding how to make use of information sources in the literature. And I do want to highlight that this, it isn't completely divided from the earlier comment, which is, you know, students making use of wikis in their classroom. One of the best ways to understand how credible a wiki can be is if you yourself are participating in creating a wiki. You then understand the context in which that information is created. So those two are actually tied, that if students are engaging in wikis, they're probably going to be much more critical about not only wikis, but other things that they find out there on the web.
You know, one of the things I did today, Dacia, was I looked at Wiki News and compared it to what I read today in the New York Times and the Washington Post online, and on the stories that they all reported, they were remarkably similar in how those stories were reported.
And I found, you know, I've used Wiki myself in doing, you know, quick research on historical characters, and I found Wiki to be very reliable when it's put up against other sources. So, you know, I was pretty shocked when they told us that Wiki is not a good source. And the kids love it because it's so quick, and it allows them to get that first set of information from which they can springboard to get other sets of information. So I was really shocked.
Well, I guess you're going to have a little quarrel with your media center.
Yes, a little quarrel.
Okay. Dacia, good luck to you in that quarrel. On to Richard in Alexandria, Virginia. Richard, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Kojo. Great show. I actually run a site called WikiNow, and I wanted to talk to that teacher and everyone else who thinks that wikis are unreliable. They do change, but the old version can be cited in your research papers. So the result is that, yeah, it might evolve over time, but as long as you cite a particular version of the page, the teacher can go back and make sure you actually saw the stuff that you were citing. Does that make sense?
Makes sense to me. I don't know. How about you, Ben?
I think that's right. And this is actually a fundamental feature, technological feature of wikis that make them work, which is that every time you update a page, it keeps a log, not a log, it actually keeps a snapshot of that page. And so when I said that there were 27 versions of the abortion page, I could actually go look at all 27 versions, and I could even compare any two versions, and it would tell me exactly what was different, which words changed from one version to the other. So it is actually brings up an important point about wikis, which often gets lost on the web, which is much of the web is ephemeral, right? Sites change and it is gone. While it's true there are sites like the Internet Archive at archive.org that does try and keep a history of the web, it doesn't change, doesn't keep track of every single change because it's not fast enough. But wikis do. Every single version of every single page is there. And actually, maybe Alex or someone else knows, does this go back to the beginning of Wikipedia time? Is version one of every article available?
Alex?
I believe so. I mean, there are small changes that people can make for extreme cases of vandalism, but generally, yeah, you can go all the way back.
Richard, we had a caller on the line who says he uses it as a jumping off point for research, not the end point, so that even if it's skewered, it can still be useful. Richard, thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Alex.
I think to kind of defend the poor Media Center librarian, even in Wikipedia's own principles, it says what we want here is verifiable information. And what they mean by verifiable information are those traditional kinds of standards, peer-reviewed journals published by reputable publishers. So even Wikipedia itself, you know, recognizes that it's different than some of the core mainstream literature and says you should be able to verify and Wikipedia should help you be able to do that.
Well, we talked about indie media and Wiki News. How about whether or not wikis can be integrated into the mainstream media model? Both the LA Times and the Washington Post experimented with what they called wikitorials, projects that invited open critique of editorial content, but those sites were both shut down after they were overwhelmed with crude comments. Can wikis be integrated into the mainstream media model, Ben?
I think it's an. It was great that they did that experiment. I think it was very interesting and wonderful. They should deserve some applause for trying something that's risky. As I think we've been seeing, this approach to this shared creation of information does have challenges, and where people have vested interests and it's highly controversial, it really is problematic without some kind of gatekeeper. So Wikipedia has thousands of incredible volunteers that do act as these kind of gatekeepers and watch what's changing. But this newspaper didn't have the resources to provide the gatekeeping that was necessary for this fast-paced wikitorial. And so I won't be surprised if they come up with a mechanism to make that work, but I don't think they're quite there yet.
Alex?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, if you think about it, 99% of blogs fail, and wikis aren't any more, novels fail. Wikis aren't any different in that. If you start something new, there's a good chance it's going to fail, and it's particularly important that there's a community based around that. The interaction, I think, is where it's going to happen, not mass media picking up wikis or even blogs as a tool, but kind of bouncing back and forth. And we're already seeing that with blogs, where mainstream newspapers are reprinting what they find in some blogs, and you know, there's a back and forth, a sort of symbiotic relationship between the two. I think we'll see this start to see the same with wikis as well, that Wikinews may be generating articles that other newspapers pick up on, rather than the one-way flow that it seems to be right now from newspapers to Wikinews.
So do we have to make a distinction, Alex, between, say, news or information going into an encyclopedia and editorial content? Does the fact that we now apparently face a significantly partisan political divide in our country, with people having strong opinions one way or the other, and a coarsening of the language at the same time, make wikitorials essentially much more risky than anything that's simply looking for information?
Yeah, I think so. Although it's easy to overstate how important the neutral point of view is, or how possible it is, even in Wikipedia. And I think we're going to see, even on the Wikipedia side, people with very clear points of view attempting to influence the way those articles go. And I think the success in keeping a neutral point of view on Wikipedia suggests that it might be possible in a Wikinews type of site. That said, indie media is a great example of this. There is a tendency for a bias of the community. So the news is made up of what people within that community think is news. And the lack of, in most cases, a commercial backing that might suggest a neutrality, might push people towards neutrality, might lead to news sites that are in some ways directing ideas within a narrower trough.
Ben, in the 30 seconds or so we have left, I get back to the point you made earlier by the study by the journal Nature finding that Wikipedia's science entries were comparable in quality to Encyclopedia Britannica. Is that the best hope for the future?
Well, I think that the most amazing thing about this whole wiki phenomena is how quickly it's grown, how quickly it's come up. And I think the single biggest reason is because it is so easy to use. It is so open to the public. So it really, to me, is an HCI, human-computer interaction issue. It's usability. When sites become accessible to everybody, then everybody can use them.
Ben Bedison is director of the Human Computer Interaction Laboratory at the University of Maryland College Park and a professor of computer science at the University of Maryland. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Alex Halavay is a professor of communications at the School of Informatics at the University of Buffalo. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Kojo Namdi.